Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. And there'll be a few missing, but the Lord bless those that came anyhow. God's good, isn't it? Amen. God is good. I have a prayer request here for Brother Edgar's aunt. And I want to remember her in prayer tonight. And I got my wife to write this. We testimony out as well. I'm praying for Matthew. I've a note there for Matthew, but Matthew's not feeling too well tonight. Pray the Lord will touch Brother Matthew. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Proverbs. And I want to just share, I won't hold you long tonight, God's remedy for sin. And there's only one remedy for sin, isn't there? Praise God. Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And I'm only reading that to get that phrase, remedy. And we know that God's remedy is one remedy for sin. Let's bow our heads tonight. And I know the brothers have prayed, but if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. And we want to pray for Adrian's auntie, June, I think he said June. She has gone through treatment. She asked specifically that I would pray for her. And we want to do that tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you that we have open access from your throne room into your very presence by the new and living way, from your footstool into your throne room. By the new and living way, through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we would approach you tonight, pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and we would pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will be one of our number tonight, that you'll have your way in this house, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We take authority over every foul spirit, every demonic force, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray that you will have your way. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Pray for Brother Andrews' auntie, June. Lord, she needs your miracle touch. Pray for your touch upon her. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray again for Eiling, for Andrea, for any others that need your touch, for your touch upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the hands are raised. For the touch of God upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that you will meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Now bless your word to our hearts and have your way in this meeting. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And if you can remember, please keep Brother Ada's auntie in prayer. I was listening to the minister, I'm not even sure who he was or where he was, but I saw a clip of it, and there was this man, and he was inspired of the devil, and there was two Pacific men, the devil told him to get stopped. One of them was Reinhard Bonnke. I can't remember the other man's name, who it was, but he had to visit 666 graves praying to the dead to get the power of the devil to stop these men from preaching. And he visited 666 graves, and he claims that he got this special ring. That the devil, this ring appeared to him, and he got this special ring of the devil. And he went to one of Punky's meetings, and when he come in the meeting, And he got the ring out, and he's about to do whatever he thought he was going to do with Bunky. The ring melted out of his hands. It melted. And there's a man appeared in front of Bunky, a mighty, massive man with a white wig. He believes it was the Lord. And he was massive. And he appeared, you couldn't see Bunky no more, you just seen this massive, massive man appeared. And I tell you, that boy was defeated and the devil a long one. And we have to remember that God made everything. Everything. And he's power over everything. There's nothing has power over the Lord. I don't care what it is, who it is. And when we get the Holy Ghost, God has promised us, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. I'm going to read you our testimony in a moment. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John, or the epistle, the John, you know, you should call it small John. But 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to say tonight, there's no other remedy for sin, only the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you think of the damnable doctrines that's going about, that you have to believe in certain men or you'll never reach heaven. Every one of them certain men, no matter how good they were, they all needed to be redeemed. But the man we're talking about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, never needed to be redeemed. He is the Redeemer. His sin is the blood of God. He was born supernaturally of the Virgin Mary. His Father is God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. And Jesus Christ came supernaturally. And he pre-existed in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. But he lowered himself a little lower than the angels, and he took upon him the form of a man, and he came to this earth. And he came without sin, and he had no sin, and he knew no sin. But he became sin because he took our place. That's why he became sin. And Galatians says, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus Christ hung on a tree in our room and in our stead. Because he had no sin, but he took our sin upon himself. And I tell you, it's only through his blood we are saved. We're not saved any other way. Through Christ alone, by faith alone. In his blood are we saved. There's no other way. And any man that preaches another way is false. And they talk about another gospel. It's not even a gospel. It's nothing. And Paul warns us, even if an angel from heaven comes and preaches a different gospel than I have preached, let him be accursed. For there's only one gospel. Now you know there's a scarlet cord that runs through the Bible and it binds every page, every word, every line, every chapter. And that scarlet thread goes from Genesis the whole way to Revelation, and it goes from the Garden of Eden the whole way up to Calvary. There's absolutely only one remedy for our sin, and that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to take tonight, and I want to say this tonight, and some Christians need to know this. There's Christians that are in bondage because they condemn themselves. But my first thing that I want to bring tonight is that the blood cleanses us from the sins of our past. Past sins. And it is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can cleanse our past sins. And people want to reform, they want to change, they want to become good living, turn over a new leaf. But the problem remains, their past records needs dealt with. And somebody can turn over a new leaf, they can join a movement, they can join an organization, they can say, I'm part of this, I'm part of that. That will not change their past record. Our sins must be removed. And the only thing to remove our sins from our past, from our youth, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 44, and I'm going to quote a lot of scriptures tonight. Isaiah 44, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And I tell you, the word redeem means to be bought back. And we've been bought tonight with the precious blood of Jesus. Peter calls it the precious blood as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Jesus' blood is precious blood tonight. And we've been paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we confess our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says we shall be saved. And his blood, when we lay our hands by faith on the Lamb of Calvary and we confess our sins not to an earthly priest, but to the heavenly priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lay our hands on him and we confess our sins to him. He doesn't just carry them away, but they are removed and they are vanished and are put into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7 verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's what God does with our sins. They're gone tonight. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember thy sins. So I want you to know, when you're saved and you're born again in the Spirit of God, your sins of your past are gone. I don't care who has a record of your past or who knows you from your past life. You might have not have been a big sinner, or you might have been a big sinner or a wee sinner, but now you're gone all of sin. And there's no such thing as a big sinner and a wee tiny sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God, the rest of it said, but the Lord have laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Hebrews 8 and 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. You know, I've done things in my past I'm not proud of. I can't change them. I've done things in my youth. A lot of people say, all of us do things when we're young and then we catch on and we learn. But that's not really accurate. I never caught on and learned. But the Lord Jesus Christ moved on me. The Holy Spirit moved on me. The convicting power of God moved on my life. And I repented. I didn't catch on and learn. I acknowledged I was a sinner. And I repented. And I turned to the Lord. And he forgave me. Here's the next thing I want you to write down. The blood cleanses us from sins present. So it cleanses us from sins past, but it cleanses us from sins present. You see, I've come to learn over 30 years of preaching, when you take the blood away from your message, you're left with nothing. Because to all these people that say they're making it and they've made it, that's good. But there's only one agent that'll keep us clean while we're here. That's the agent of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins of our past is gone, but we could still sin. While we're in this flesh, we could still sin. We could even backslide. We could do things we maybe never planned to do, but we could do them because we're only human. But thank God we still need the blood. And it's available. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses sins after we're saved. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we all know the real Christian life is a battle, how many knows that? Now I'll tell you something. If you're not having a battle, I would wonder about you. Because you see, when you're really serving the Lord, it's a battle. But we know the enemy accuses us and can only overcome, we can only overcome him by the blood of the Lamb of God. He'll accuse us. The Bible tells us in Revelation, he's an accuser of the brethren. No, he's not just talking about the brethren all round the corner. We're brethren. Everybody that's saved, it's brethren. You're the real brethren, you know. Now, there's brethren around the corner, but then there's us brethren. We're Pentecostal brethren, we would say. But we're brethren. But we're not brethren in a doctrine that a man's put up in a building. But we're brethren because of Jesus Christ. We're the royal seed of Abraham. That's what makes us brethren. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are. Even though we mightn't be connected in a family earthly name, we're connected in a heavenly name. And we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, brethren. And we see, we know that the blood of the Lamb is a thing we can overcome by. Revelations 12 and 11 tells us that. I've quoted it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanses when we're saved, but it daily cleanses us. Now, I heard a thing once that a man said, and it blessed me, and I've never forgot it. And I'm going to tell you it. And you might know it, and if you do, that's good. But I'm going to tell you it again anyhow. Now, you young fellas will know it, and older men and women will know it as well. But you know there, when you go to bed at night, and you fall asleep, and you wake up tomorrow morning, and you tick your finger into the corner of your eye, and what do? You do that there. And how many knows that many's the time dirt comes out? How many knows that? It's about to depend on what you've been working at. It's surprising the dirt that'll come out. Because there's a fountain washes over your eye. And that fountain continually cleans your eye and keeps your eye healthy. And that fountain's made in there. Our brother Frank went into it a wee bit. He knows more about it than me, but I'm just telling you the basics of it. That wee fountain goes over your eye and cleans your eye and keeps your eye clean and keeps it healthy and keeps it good. And the blood of Jesus Christ is our fountain as Christians. And it goes over to the Holy Spirit works on us. That if we're getting out of line, he pricks our hearts. We've got a conscience. That's the difference in us and an animal, you know. An animal's no conscience. But a human being has a conscience because they're made in the image of God. And our conscience sometimes pricks. And just like that, we fountain clears the eye and cleanses the eye and keeps the eye in good health. We need the blood of Jesus Christ as Christians to cleanse us and keep us in good health, spiritually and physically. And here's another thing. The blood cleanses from sins possible. Any sin that anyone could ever possibly commit except blasphemy of the Holy Ghost can be forgiven and cleansed. I hear people saying, he'll never been in heaven, he killed somebody. Now somebody could say that, and they've never killed nobody, they've never maybe stolen anything, but they're not saved. But you know the big shock and the truth of it is, the man that's killed somebody, if he repents and gets saved, he's going to heaven. But the man or woman that never killed nobody or never stole nothing or done anything bad, what they call bad, the fact is they're on their way to hell. And hell not befall to their enemy. Because except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the Bible. And you see, we have broken God's law. All of us are separate from the Lord. And God's made a way for us to come back. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, God has saved people. I was watching a thing recently on YouTube. I never got to finish it. But there's a fella from Australia. And he lost his sister. She was a lot older than him. He really loved his sister. He looked up to her as a young man. He started drinking. Started taking drugs. Things got out of control. He took out one of them jeeps And he went down the road too fast and he took a corner at a speed that even if he had been sober, he wouldn't have been fit to take it. And there were 7 young children going to the shop to get ice cream and he hit them full on. And he killed 4 of them. And this video is the father of the children. The one father had 3 children that were killed was his. And he's meeting this fella. Now, I haven't got to all the end of it. What happened? But this man says he forgives him. Now, that fella didn't mean to kill him. He never went out deliberately and started his vehicle to kill him. But he was beside himself with drugs and drink. He should never have been driving. And he'd done it. You say, I would never have done anything like that. No. I know all the goody two shoes. I've met them all. You warm the bucket at the fire for them. Now I'm going to tell you a wee thing tonight. There was a fella that used to come to meetings with me and Philip. And he was a good one, I'll be honest with you. He was ahead of us boys. He was asking questions I couldn't answer him some of. He went very forward, very quick. And there's another brother, and he was going to something to do with weightlifting or bodybuilding. And this fella come to me, especially to see me. And he says, have you ever seen a like that? Imagine him going there, and he saved. He said, I had never do that. And I caught him by the arm. And I says, I want to tell you a wee thing now. You would do a lot worse than that. God's hand was lifted off you. And I'll tell you one thing, he did do a lot worse. And he backslid. And he quit serving the Lord. And I never seen him for years. And you know when I last seen him? At my dad's funeral. And I didn't know him. And he come to me at my dad's funeral in tears. And he said to me, many a time I've wanted to come and see you and your dad. But he never came. He was goody two-shoes, wasn't he? He never done nothing wrong. He could quickly see the fault in somebody else. But the Bible says, him that standeth, take heed lest he fall. And the fella he was talking about, there wasn't really much wrong with what really he was doing. He wasn't really committing any sin. He wasn't going to get drunk or take drugs or nothing. But he didn't agree with it. I know a man and he got saved years ago and some people in this meeting will know him. And he joined an organization. Well, the group, they wouldn't claim to be an organization, but they really are. And all denominations are. They're all denominations. They pulled him in. You know why they pulled him in? His pushback, brother, was too worldly. His pushback. This is true. The hierarchy pulled him in because his pushback was too worldly, his bicycle. And he says, what use 2 men or 3 men ever the world with to come with me for a minute? And he brought them outside. And the 3 boys pulled up in the car that the king could only own. The dearest car you could get your hands on. And he said to them, my pushback's too worldly. What about that there that is coming? And off they went. Pure nonsense. Pure nonsense about the pushback in the car. It's pure nonsense. That's man's idea. That's not sin. That's a figment of some man's imagination. Organization. Works. That's works. We're not saved by works, but your works will prove your faith. The blood cleanses from sins possible. God keeps us many a time when we would fall. Many a time we're tempted. Many a time the devil wants to steer us the wrong way. But the Holy Spirit moves us. And we call to the Lord and we call to the blood. And the Lord keeps us. And it's only the Lord that keeps us. And I tell you, I remember a man of God, a great man of God. And he fell in sin. And he badly fell and it affected an awful lot of people. And those boys couldn't wait to tell me about it. But I cried when I heard it. Because not one of them was troubling the devil that was telling me. But that wee man was when he was gone. He was troubling him. He was casting out devils and seeing people saved. That was the man the devil wanted stopped. But the old chitterbox, like a hen clucking, can't wait to tell you the bad news. You never have to look for them. They'll meet you in every corner. They'll come and they tell you the bad. Did you hear about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? The Bible warns us we're not to be like that. If we see a brother overtaken in a fault, what's it say? Then the Spirit shall restore him. And you're winning a soul for the Lord. Don't need to be talking about them. It's not right. You see, sin, anybody can blaspheme. All manner of sin be forgiven except blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And people get saved. What about that testimony? Brother Brian, let me hear it when I was over in Australia. One of the times where the woman was, this boy lifted her. And she didn't know it. She started preaching to him. Now she never knew it, but he had killed every other woman he had lifted, raped them and murdered them. And she preached him, and she was the only woman to get away. And she told him the gospel. And she says she doesn't know how she done it, but a boldness come over her. And she shared the gospel with him. And he sent for her, and he was on the death penalty. And he told her he'd get saved. Now I'll tell you, a lot of people, that would fairly put their nose out of joint, wouldn't it? There's a couple of real good church goers and join every lodge in the country, but never saved. And a man that can't enter in heaven. That's the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse all that'll come. There are too many hypocrites in church. Jesus said that they were always for hypocrites. Didn't Jesus say about the scribes and Pharisees? You know, I never done this and I never done that. But our wee fellow, he rent his clothes at the word and he says, Lord, forgive me. I'm not worthy. That's how he approached God. But you know, we should never let the hypocrites keep us from believing God. Because there's more real honest Christians than hypocrites. You know, there's a lot of people and they're put off because of other Christians. I couldn't come to church because such the one is meant to be saved and they live like this and this and this. But you know, one day when they stand before God, God will never ask any of them people about the other person. It's when our brother John preached the other week and about Peter and John, and he got down to the bit and Samuel preached the message on it once. What will this man do? That was John. And Jesus told him, never you worry what he'll do. You need to worry what you do. And we can be so worried about other people, what they're going to do. But what are we going to do? And there's so many people who blame this. The church put them off. A preacher put them off. A pastor put them off. But on the day of judgment, they'll have to answer, what did you do with Jesus called Christ? That's what they have to say. Many say, I'm doing the best I can. That's not what God has asked. Our best will never save us. You see, we're not saved by doing our best. Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness would we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're saved because of what he done, not what we done. Some sincere people say, I'm afraid. I can't live it. I'm going to share your wee testimony in a moment about that. But God gave every one of us a remedy. And the remedy is the precious blood of Jesus. Now here's another thought. The blood cleanses from sin's penalty. So it cleanses from sin's past, present, future, and from sin's penalty. And the penalty of sin's death. What is the penalty of sin? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin's death. But the gift of God's eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:15, and that belonged, I'm finished. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore if any one man sin, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Everyone sinned. The lovely Lord Jesus Christ paid for sin. The death, we are a death. With his own precious blood on the cross, we couldn't pay the debt because we were sinners. And there was no other man, a priest or prophet, could pay the debt, for they were born sinners. But Jesus Christ came, the only begotten Son of God, who knew no sin and had no sin. He paid the debt that we owed. Romans 5 and 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. God's remedy is the blood. I want to read you this, and I'm going to come to close tonight. And I never get right in every detail of this, because I heard it quickly and then the thing went off. Reinhard Bonnke was in Nigeria at a village, and he met a young man that he knew, and he said to him, when are you going to get saved? He asked this young man. The young man replied, I can't get saved. And Bunky said, why not? And the young man said, it wouldn't last long if I get saved. He said, because my mom was a witch, and her mom was a witch, and her mom before her was a witch. And he said, it wouldn't last long if I went into the house. It wouldn't last long for me to get saved. And Reinhard Bonnke said, the Holy Spirit moved on him and he asked him a stupid question. The young fella. I want you to hear this. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe you've never heard it. He said to him, could you breathe on the moon? And the young fella looked at him. Never answered him. And he said, the answer is yes, and the answer is no. If you went to the moon now the way you are, you'd die. But if you got the space capsule equipment on you, you know all that gear that can wear now, the helmet and all that stuff, and you could go on the moon and breathe on it if you had the right equipment on you. And he said, when you get saved, not only are you saved, but the Holy Spirit wraps around you. And the power of the blood comes on you. And he said, if you went into your mom's house, even though she's a witch, and your granny's a witch, and your great-granny's a witch, he says, you'd think you wouldn't be able to breathe, and you wouldn't be saved long, but he says, you'd be breathing from heaven, even though they're breathing from hell, because you're saved. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said, as many as receive him, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God. And I tell you what a question. Never in a thousand years have thought that question. Sure you would. And you might think it's a silly question, but it's the truth. You could never go to heaven and breathe the way we are, but if you had the right equipment on. And I tell you, we can never enter heaven the way we are. But the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, he descended, and he ascended so that we could ascend. For he's the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. And because of what he lives, we shall live also. And when we receive him, we receive eternal life. We'll never die. Even though this physical body could breathe its last breath, you have a soul that's saved. And when you die, you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we believe as Christians and believers tonight that the catching up's at hand, that the Lord's coming again. And there's a group of people in this earth that might never even see physical death. Because 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What else does it say? Comfort one another with these words. The Lord's coming again. Are you glad tonight that you've got the suit on? You have a suit on tonight. You have a garment on. You might look at your brother and say, I don't see anything on them. I tell you, the devil can see it. You're marked. You're marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. Marked tonight. Are you glad you're marked tonight with the blood? Even in the Old Testament, they marked them in the right ear, the right thumb. And they were released or set free from slavery. And we were released and set free from the bondage of the devil. When the blood of Jesus touched us by faith, we were set free. I'm glad I'm free tonight. Praise God. God bless you this evening. Let's stand our feet and keep me in your prayers tomorrow night. I've been invited on to Southern Country Gospel. Share my testimony. I don't know if it's a radio or it's what all different things it's on. But it'll be on there tomorrow night. Pray for us. The Lord will speak to somebody. Let's bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We plead the merits of that precious blood in our lives afresh. And Lord, for those in our families that don't know you, Father, we're asking you to move on them, speak to them and save them. Lord, will you convict them of sin, of unrighteousness? Will you draw them on to thy lovely self and save them, we pray. Lord, above everything else, we want to see our sons and daughters saved. Those that's near and dear to us, we want to see saved. Aunts, uncles, husbands, wives. Father, we plead your precious blood on everyone, and we take your promise, ye and your house shall be saved. Move on every one of them. Bless your own people in this service tonight. Do them good. Give them your strength and your grace. Help them to know that they're not in bondage. And even if they fall short or make a mistake, the blood of Jesus lays there for us. And we thank you for the power of the blood tonight. Lord Jesus, wash us afresh in your blood. Cover us with your blood. Keep us as the apple of your eye. Bless your own people, Israel, tonight as well. Move upon them and in them and through them. And Lord, just have your way, we pray. Help us, Lord, to serve you in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, if there's anyone tuned in tonight, may you bless them, may you strengthen them, may you move upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As your brother Gary's going to come, I got to pray with Andre again on Friday evening. And she's not going for any more chemotherapy. And she felt not to go for any more. And I believe that's the Lord. Amen. And I'm not saying anything about anybody goes for it. But Jesus Christ is our healer. That's our healer. And we appreciate the medical, the doctors, the nurses. But when they can do all they can do, it's only God that can change the situation. God's able to do it. And just keep praying for the Lord to bless her and strengthen her, everything they were. She couldn't remember some things. She asked them, can it affect your memory? And they said it can and it will. Every time you take it can affect your memory. You'll not remember things. You know, there's a wee verse in the Bible and it says that God will bring all things to our remembrance. Don't think what you'll say. Said to the disciples, or even what you're going to wear, for the Lord will give it to you. And so, Lord, we're looking to tonight. Keep praying for my Auntie Eileen as well. Pray for them that God will give them a full recovery. God's able to do it. God bless you. We'll be back Thursday night at 7:30, the Lord willing. And just keep praying and keep marching on. God bless you. Yeah.
I'll try and sing 703 when I saw the cleansing fountain. I'm not sure just what key is the right key. 703 when I saw the cleansing fountain.
Abigail, happy 17th birthday from yesterday, and also Isaac, he's 15 today, so two special birthdays. Happy birthday to you both. And was listening in while we were away when I come home, some of the services, and Abigail was playing away in the violin I could hear on the services, so thank you to Abigail for continuing to play, and also Alva while we were away. So let's just bow our heads, praise God, and ask God's blessing as we go. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for your precious word. Lord, the comfort that we get from your word, because we know that we were guilty of sins. We knew, Lord God, that we were without hope. And Lord, we realize now that we're saved, we can look to where we would have been. And Lord, where you brought us from. And we're so grateful and we're so glad to have the knowledge of sins forgiven. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we really appreciate, Lord, the stoop you took when you humbled yourself to become one of us. And not only, Lord, so low you humble yourself to become of one of us, but your word says He humbled himself to the death of the cross. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that as was even said, that the our iniquity was laid upon you. And he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Lord, what a terrible thing it was. But Lord, we're so glad. Lord, it's a bittersweet thing because, Lord, we think of the punishment and the wrath of God that you endured, and we realize it was a horrible thing, and we wouldn't wish it on anyone. But Lord, had you not have done it for us, then we would have no hope whatsoever. So Lord, we know it was a hard thing you done. And Lord, we know that we couldn't do it. And Lord, if every man that was ever born was lined up till the last man or the latest one that was born and all should die, none combined could ever atone for our sin. But through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ has atoned for all our race. And as the hymn writer says, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Our Heavenly Father, we appreciate when you give your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. We love you. We love your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we appreciate Calvary. We appreciate, Lord, that you've also given us power over the enemy and power to live and walk in this Christian life. And Lord, we thank you that we too are overcomers. And Lord, sometimes things may seem hard or desperate or difficult, but your word says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And Lord, it may seem that we fight a losing battle sometimes, but Lord, you never lost a battle. Lord, you won every temptation and every trial that come your way. You passed with flying colours. And Lord, when the enemy come and tempted you and offered all sorts of accusations against you, you said, man shall not live by bread alone. And Lord, you said that God should not be tempted. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you were able to overcome in every trial and circumstance and situation. And even, Lord, when they put you in the grave and sealed it and made the security of it sure, even that couldn't overcome. You overcame the grave. Even, Lord, in the deepest caverns of hell, Lord, where no man came out of, Lord, it spot you up like a bellyache, Lord, getting rid of something bad. It couldn't hold you no more. And the graves opened and gave up the dead that were in them because you were there, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that where you are, there is life. And we thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to be with you. Lord, bless the pastor now who shared your word, and especially for tomorrow evening as he would go and testify. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that hearts would be convicted, and Lord, that souls would be converted to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, that as he speaks, you'll grant him wisdom and grant him boldness and inspiration, Lord, to say what you would have him to say, and that he'll not be stuck for words, but Lord God, that it'll be in him, Lord, just like a well flowing up from within him, Lord, bubbling over. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We pray, Lord God, that there will be a gripping with the speaking of your word and the testifying of it, that people will be engaged when they hear it and hooked upon it. And Lord God, that they'll want to get right with God. Lord, that the response would be the same as it was on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. Lord, the reaction of the people was, what must we do to be saved? What shall we do? And I pray, Lord God, so shall the same reaction be to the word that goes forth tomorrow night. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Again, we ask you, Lord, for Andrea and for Aileen. In the name of Jesus Christ, be merciful, O God, and touch their bodies and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ, and restore unto them all that's been lost. And Lord, even someone perhaps suffering silently in our midst tonight, pray, Lord God, you'll touch them in their body in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, those suffering, Lord, mentally, Lord, maybe discouraged, pray, Lord God, you'll touch them. And Lord, draw them near to your own precious self, for you are a friend that sticketh closer than our brother. And your word says, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, what a comfort it is to know that the God of all creation cares for us. Lord, we just ask you now, Lord, as we go, that you'll part us with your blessing, which maketh rich, and out of no sorrow in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each person throughout the week, bless them in their work. Bless them, Lord, as the children have to go back to school. We pray, Lord God, that all will be well. Set before them straight paths and let them walk as ambassadors unto you before their classmates, before our work colleagues, and before all that we engage with. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we'll be faithful ambassadors for you and fly the flag of the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for it belongs to thee. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Praise God. We'll sing the hymn as we leave. I'll sing the first verse and then we can begin to leave. 777. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that shall never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again on that day. Amen. The Lord bless us. We go.